Hey y'all, welcome to Seducated, the podcast fusing business, lifestyle, and marketing, giving you real perspective and inspiration to help feed your entrepreneurial soul. Our podcast is dedicated to helping you succeed in your business through empowerment and growth. Come on. And I'm your Seducated host, Sheila Ellis Glasper, and the owner of SEG Media Collective. Let's get started. Well, welcome to another episode of Seducated. We are so happy to have a guest today. Her name is Kaylee Proctor, and she is the owner and founder and CEO of Little Apple Doulas out of Manhattan, Kansas. From the Little Apple to the Big Apples, you've been traveling a lot recently with your agency. Tell us a little bit about that and what you do. And
I started Little Apple Doulas a little over 4 years ago and just did local services where we started with birth support, postpartum support, so helping families go through the birth process in the hospital mostly, coaching families on how to get through contractions, how to navigate their decisions in the hospital, how to have the birth that they want, and then on the postpartum side, helping take care of families once they come home. So teaching them about feeding, teaching them soothing techniques, helping mom make sure she's getting enough rest so that way she's recovering. I really have a huge passion for making sure that We're taking care of our moms, and it's such an important time. So I started there, and since then, I've branched into sleep coaching as well. A little over 2 years ago, I took that training, and there has been increased opportunity for me to be able to travel to larger cities where this service is already very well known and popular, and people are seeking it out. And so I have colleagues that live in these big cities that want to have people coming in to help take care of their clients because they're so overwhelmed. So I have been able to travel to places like New York and Los Angeles and Seattle and Washington, D.C. to be able to provide this service and then come home and, you know, still live in the Little Apple and enjoy that small town living.
So that's really cool that you get to travel with what you do and still have your home base here. And so today's episode, we want to talk about balancing motherhood and entrepreneurship, and what does that look like? Kaylee is a mom of
three. Soon to be four.
Yes. Yes, y'all. Three, soon to be four. So she is also, of course, a business owner of Little Apple Doulas. And so balancing that, and then you were also a full-time paramedic.
Yeah, up until last November.
Okay, y'all. So she was juggling the full-time job and the more than full-time business and the more than full-time being a mom, right?
Yeah.
And so myself being a mom and also an entrepreneur, just the struggle of balancing it all. As a mom, you already sometimes have guilt. And then there's so much pressure on moms, I think, nowadays, especially with social media. I think that a lot of times it makes it difficult to kind of decipher like what's real and what's not, because we only want to a lot of people show their highlights on social media. Really, you don't even know in reality like what's actually happening. And so like I just want to talk about that, and from your perspective, especially because you work with families and you work with, you know, moms at all stages while they're pregnant, as they're going through birthing their child, and then afterwards with postpartum care, and then afterwards with sleep training, and that whole, you know, full circle, you are, you know, an expert in all of that. And so just kind of what advice do you have for the mompreneur of today?
Oh man, yeah. It's a lot when you say it like that. I realize just how many things I've been doing. So first of all, one thing I want to address is that everybody thinks I'm some kind of superhuman because I was able to do all of this. And I tend to quickly correct people and saying like, I'm not doing it all. I have a team. Like I have a village, I have a support system. And because I have a partner who is with my kids when I'm not, and we have babysitters and family members that can be there when neither of us can, it allows me the freedom to be able to explore what I want to do with my career, my education, and gives me the freedom to do what works for us and not feel like I have to work everything around childcare. I mean, essentially we do, mm-hmm. but because I have such a variety of options, I'm able to have more freedom than someone who doesn't have as big of a village to rely on. And so that first and foremost would be my top advice, would be to create your village, embrace the village that you have, be that village for other people, so that way you can start to build a rapport between, you know, helping one another. It's hard if you're away from your family and having to kind of create your own village with either hired help or friends that you meet in your new location. But we see that with more professional couples and military couples moving away from their home base and needing to start fresh somewhere else. It's overwhelming, and having to do so with little children who rely on you for everything. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I'm lucky. I was born and raised here, so I have quite a bit of family, my husband as well. And so we both have our support systems, and I have a lot of friends as well. And I've been able to meet people that I trust to watch my children. And so that's probably our biggest worry as moms, is making sure our kids are okay. And if you mm-hmm. feel like you're restricted to, you know, only a few hours in the week of having time to yourself to explore your own desires, career-wise or education, it really limits your opportunities. But then you have to start getting creative. So getting creative with the time you do have and carving out time for yourself to do things that you want to do just for you, things you want to do for your business, things you want to do for your family. If you're more of a schedule orientated person where structure and organization helps you thrive, then I think doing a color-coded calendar can be helpful, and planning the time to spend with your partner, with your kids, on your business, on yourself. And don't let your calendar fill up and then say, oh, well, I don't have any time for me. Just intentionally carve that out and saying, okay, this time frame on this day, this is all me. Mm-hmm. Because you have to recharge your batteries if you're going to be taking care of everyone else.
I feel you. Like, there are times where I have, and I felt guilty about it at first, where I would schedule like a massage for mm-hmm. myself and literally schedule it, put it on my calendar to where no other appointments can get mm-hmm. scheduled on top of that, and so that my team could see that I'm unavailable during that time. And at first I did feel guilty for that, because it's like, well, I could be spending this time in my business, you know. But mama needs a massage. I gotta take care of myself too, because if I can't take care of myself, then I'm not gonna be good of good use for others, you know.
Absolutely.
Who I'm serving, our clients and my own family. How can I if I'm mm-hmm. on E?
Exactly. I preach that to moms all the time. And one of the reasons why we do postpartum care is so we are caring for the mother so she can care for her baby. Mm-hmm. I want partners to embrace that too and not look at it as just an extra expense or just some kind of luxury you have freedom to just cancel on a whim. It should be protected time, just like you would take your car to get serviced if it needed an oil change. And if you don't do it, then your car's not going to function. Same mm-hmm. thing for us. You know, yeah, you could spend the time in your business, but if you're struggling, how much work are you really getting done if mm-hmm. you haven't had a chance to take care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And the shame around that makes moms feel guilty is something that I want to help, you know, cancel out.
Like how, though?
Talking about it in my own personal life with my clients,
mm-hmm.
Not feeling ashamed to do it myself and share it. It doesn't always have to be something extravagant. It doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money. We talk about pedicures and massages. Mm-hmm. I personally love that because those are things that make me feel good. But it could also be carving out an hour to go sit somewhere that's peaceful and read a book that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. It could be doing the hard thing, like planning out that time in your calendar. Like, that's self-care, by planning out time for just you. And you do whatever you want. It can be a free thing, it could be something that's cheap, it could be more extravagant, but just the act of setting those boundaries for yourself is self-care.
Because there's always something to do, right?
Always.
And I think as a mom, like, I think back to when I was in college, like, there was so many times where I found myself like trying to find something to do. You know yeah. what I mean? And always like, you know, trying to not have idle time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I have to, if I'm going to be productive, I have to be busy. And yeah. I kind of have that mindset. And so even when I was in college, I was like, okay, there's got to be something for me to do. There's got to mm-hmm. be something for me to do. So I would start side hustles and different yeah. things. And so like now, as a mom and as a business owner, there's just not a ton of, I just don't really have idle time anymore because it's like every single second and minute of the day has to be accounted for. And mm-hmm. when you feel like that, then trying to squeeze that me time in is hard. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on one thing that I thought was really interesting or really kind of can be an issue for a lot of women is getting your partner to buy in on mm-hmm. that. And, you know, I think for those of us who have supportive partners who support us in our businesses, I mean, it's crucial mm-hmm. to have that support. And in my relationship in particular, it's like I get a ton of support for my business. And with when it comes to the kids, and then when it comes to myself, it's like you're already asking for so yeah. much
yeah.
because, oh, I had this evening event, so I need you to, you know, help with the kids tonight, or because I'm going out to do this thing for the business mm-hmm. or this and that for the business and this and that for the children. And then now on top of that, you're trying to carve in that time for yourself too. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to take this yoga class or I want to go do whatever. So like, how do you advise your clients on how to get that buy-in from
yeah.
the partner to understand that mama needs a break too?
Well, first, to go back to what you said about productivity, mm-hmm. our society has placed such, we have encompassed our value as people into how productive we are. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy to tell yourself that I'm only a valuable human being, I'm worthy of being on this earth, dependent on how many things I can get done in a day, a week, a month. It's everyone's on their own journey. Everyone's on their own walk. And some people are walking, some people are jogging, some people are running. You know, as long as you're walking your own path, you're running your own race, you know, we're not in competition with one another to see how much we can squeeze in. And once I started to realize that and really dig, and I still do it, mm-hmm. I still find myself feeling like if I'm not productive, then I've wasted a day. But then I've tried to reframe that into, you know, my body's telling me to rest because I'm exhausted. And now that I'm trying to grow another human being in my body, mm-hmm. my body's even more exhausted. And so I've been trying to be patient with myself in that and not make excuses if you're truly suffering from depression that's debilitating you from getting out of bed. You know, that's a different story. I definitely want people to seek help if they're experiencing symptoms of that. But if your body's saying, Sheila, not today, you need a rest, then take a rest, you know, take a sick day because you need it. And our mental health is just as important as our physical health. I mean, it really is the whole body. Your brain's a part mm-hmm. of your vital organs. And if your brain's not functioning well, then your body's not functioning well. And so I like to destigmatize the need for mental health care and hoping that if we take good care of ourselves on a daily, weekly basis, then we won't need as much professional mental health care because we're already doing well on our own.
Yeah.
So being able to frame that to your partner and understanding, like, this isn't just me wanting to hang out with my girlfriends to escape my responsibilities. This is me needing some downtime to relax after a stressful week, to chit-chat with some friends that makes me feel good to be around them. And then when I come home, I'm a happier mom, I'm a better mom, I'm a better wife. And I know people say happy wife, happy life, but happy yes. spouse, happy house, right?
yeah, because I mean, even on the other flip side too, you know, like it's a partnership, you
absolutely.
Know, your marriage is a partnership, your relationship is a partnership. And I think that, you know, I think, yeah, mom needs a break, but also dad needs a break too.
Absolutely.
You know, and so like being able to balance that out. I kind of want to switch gears because I think that this would be an interesting topic for you that just kind of popped in my head
okay.
about still within being a mompreneur, but there's this thing that happens, I think, for moms, especially during maternity leave.
Yes.
Where you're trying to figure your life out, especially when you're a first-time mom.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got this whole human being, and it makes you kind of, in my own experience, and just using my own personal experience and then experiences from friends that I know, this thing happens where you just want, you're like rethinking your whole life.
Yeah.
And do I want to go back to work? Is there something that I can do from home? I don't want to drop this, you know, 12-week-old baby, 6-week-old baby off somewhere. And the reality hits that, you know, and when you were pregnant, you know, it wasn't really real yet. And then when that baby comes, you know, now you're rethinking, what do you really want to be, do with your life? And what kind of mom do you really want to be? And so for me, that was very real, and that's really how I got thrown into I threw myself into entrepreneurship, because I wanted some more flexibility and be able to be home with my son. And so, like, what is some advice that you have, because you are the expert here in birth and postpartum care and everything, for moms that may be in that spot where they're trying to figure out what to do with their whole life now that they've got this new baby and things are so different?
Yeah, it's like having a baby throws you into an existential crisis, right?
Yeah,
like reevaluating the meaning of life and why are you even here?
Yeah.
You were a whole different person. I mean, you were yourself before you had this baby, and then you went through the pregnancy, you're still mostly yourself. Probably some hormonal changes going on. But afterwards, you have transformed into a mother that now has to worry about a whole human being. You are now completely responsible for them staying alive, them staying healthy, them getting what they need. And we have so many sources of information being presented to us. What's the best way to feed them? How are they supposed to sleep? What's the best product on, you know, what car seat, crib, stroller, whatever. There's so many sources of information. And then when there's a choice, then there's shame and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal as a doula and what we do in our role is provide non-judgmental support, because it's so hard to find. Everybody has an opinion on how you should do things. And if you don't do it like this, you're a bad mom. Or if you do it this way, it's like, well, it's okay, but it's not the best. Only you can decide what's best for you and your family. There's science and evidence, and you can make decisions based on that, or you can go with your gut. You can do a combination of the two, and things change. What worked for our parents might not be deemed safe anymore, and so there are some safety concerns to throw in as well. I think it's good to remember we're all trying to do the best that we can. I don't think anyone's out here being like, I wonder how I could be the worst mom ever. I really don't think that's the case. I really don't think any of your listeners are here on this podcast wondering, how can I be the worst mom ever?
Totally.
So I really like to reframe that to people. And if, depending on what your lived experiences have been, you know, it helps inform your opinion. So for me, I've lived a wide variety of experiences, and it has lended me the opportunity to be more empathetic to my clients and people that I meet and try and understand what path they're walking on and why are they making these decisions, or why are they in this situation? You know, when I was younger and I didn't quite understand that, it was easier for me to be judgmental. But now that I've lived more life and I've done this parenting thing quite a few times, now I realize we're all just trying to do the best we can. And if we can eliminate some of that judgment to one another, it really, really help. Social media certainly doesn't aid in that process unless we decide to use it for good. If we're only showing the highlight reel, it's so easy to judge our everyday struggles to someone's one snapshot of one thing that they did that makes us feel inferior. I remember feeling like that about my birth with one of my children, thinking that, oh, if I get a birth photographer and I see all these beautiful images and it'll just feel so serene because those pictures look so serene and calm and beautiful. But birth is work. Like, labor is hard work. And a snapshot doesn't appropriately convey all the sweat and like the throw up and like all the work that goes into having the baby. So it's important to kind of just put it all in perspective, first of all. And you know, to be honest, to be open with people. I'm pretty open. Like, I choose to be vulnerable because I think it helps other people understand that what they're experiencing, it's in the realm of normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps them have the courage to share what they're going through and hopefully open up. And whether it's to me or a professional or a friend or whoever, mm-hmm. I just think it's important to build that relationship with someone that you have.
Yeah.
You know, trusted source, someone to go to mm-hmm. when you're struggling.
Yeah, I think when you think about the workplace and going back into the workforce after having a baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think that our country, and I think we agree, does enough to support, you know, moms in general, and especially, you know, postpartum. You know, it can be very stressful. I remember going back to work before my 12 weeks was up because I took my extended 12 weeks. And I remember even just saying that to my editor was like an issue. But legally, there was really nothing that could be done. But the fact that I was taking the full 12 weeks was an issue. Mm-hmm. And it was very verbal to me that what are we going to do to find someone that's going to fill in during that time? Can't you come back after 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So I came back part-time just to kind of fill, you know, and I think for moms, like, the stress of going back to work and all the worries of how, you know, after having the maternity leave and you're at home, so you kind of get this taste of being at home with your baby, and then you get thrown back in just weeks later into now you're dropping your baby off with somebody else all day long while you're at work. And the idea of that, especially the doing it the first time, I think is difficult. So, like,
so hard.
What tips do you give your clients as far as helping getting ready to go back to work after?
Yeah, that transition.
And if you have a business, it's still going back to work, whether you're an employee somewhere or if you own your own business. There's work that has to be done.
talk about leaving the workforce to be your own boss, so that way you can spend more time working, right? Like,
Like,
oh, we can be flexible. We can make our own schedules. It'd be so great. But then we end up, we're so passionate about it. I was sending emails all the time.
Recovery room after having
my second son. I was writing checks out to the girls that work for me because I wanted to make sure they had their paychecks before I was in labor. I was like writing checks to make sure that they didn't miss their paycheck while I was in the hospital. And I missed a call while I was in labor from a potential client. And while I was in the recovery room, I called them back.
At least it's your own thing. You're not being forced by an employer to do it, right? Because everything that you gain out of your business, it's for your legacy and it's for your vision, right?
Yeah.
And your other baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is your business.
What I think, I think being a stay-at-home mom, first of all, is a lot of work. Like,
oh,
being a mom, like, period. Being a mom is work.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting children is work. And I think it would do employers and coworkers well to understand that we should value the work that goes into parenting instead of looking at it as like some extracurricular activity that we just did for funsies. Like, it's so much work.
Right.
There's so much love and enjoyment. I know that there's a lot of joy in it as well.
Yes.
But it's not like maternity leave is a vacation. And I tell moms,
that's so true.
Do not plan on like getting a bunch of projects done around the house while you're on maternity leave. Your job is to rest, recover, and take care of your baby, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that you might have, you know, get to do or have done is, that's a luxury, right?
Yeah.
If you had time to rearrange your nursery, like, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if all you do is rest and watch Netflix all day while you nurse your baby, like, cool, great for you. Like, you did exactly all you're expected to do is just rest and recover. And so if our employers, if the workforce in general could reframe the way we value people instead of valuing them for all of their productivity in the workplace and understanding that parenting in itself has value because they're raising our next generation and it's important for them to have a solid bond with their parents because you can't start to learn until you feel safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
So in the early formative years, it's the parents' job and the caregivers that are caring for them if they're at daycare or grandparents or whoever, to help them feel safe, secure, and loved so that way their brains can be ready to learn all the things that they are going to learn in those early mm-hmm. years when their brains are growing so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries do so much better.
Yeah.
There are other national, there's other
Sweden,
cultures.
Is it Sweden that gives a year maternity leave, or Switzerland? Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. some European countries do so much better than us. And I want to say France, too, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the case if you're an entrepreneur, because we have to make our own maternity leave. But if you are an employee, you get those benefits. And I mm-hmm. think some of them, it's for both parents. It's mm-hmm. parental leave and not just maternity leave, because they value both parents being able to build that relationship with the child.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, you know, they're also not having to stress about daycare because they have better daycare rates, or maybe mm-hmm. it's state funded or something. I can't be sure, but some of these other needs are cared for by kind of pooling everyone's resources together. Mm-hmm. So there's less of a stressor on parents to go back to work because they need the money.
So what about entrepreneurs? We're talking about moms making time for themselves.
Yes.
And you just said something that was kind of cool about, we make our own maternity leave, kind of.
Yes.
Okay, so as an entrepreneur, and you being a Prego entrepreneur right now, how are you planning to schedule your maternity leave? Like, how do you do this? How do you do this? Because mine consisted of this last time, which is going to be my last time, pretty sure. this last
Don't
time.
Jinx yourself
yes,
now.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, knock on wood. So this last time, I actually didn't really give myself an official maternity leave, but I was able to have a team member do a lot of work bulk in advance so that would give me a little breathing time so that I wouldn't be so, you know, on such strict deadlines. And for a few months before I had the baby, I was not taking any new clients at that time, just so that I could give myself some breathing room, so I wasn't like full steam ahead so much, you know, in that grind, when I knew during those first couple months that I would really need to be more, you know, in the home base versus out here trying to build relationships with new clients and all of that work that takes. So for me, that's kind of what my maternity leave was. I mean, it was like maybe 1 week of not really actually opening up my laptop and doing like real work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, catching up on emails, things were scheduled out. But after that week was over, I was back into the groove of things. And so for me, that's what it looked like. But what is your advice for, you know, entrepreneurs, mompreneurs that are trying to figure out and navigate with babies, you know, whether it's you just had a baby or you have an infant right now and you're trying to get back into the groove of your business or start a business?
Yeah. So I joke with people that when I had our son, who is our second one,
mm-hmm.
I started this business like right up until like right that last month time frame. I was doing all the paperwork to file for my LLC mm-hmm. and get our name reserved and all that stuff. So right before he was born is when I was making moves to open this business. And then on my maternity leave is when I was really doing the legwork.
Ooh, yes.
And so I tell people, like, I did a terrible job at taking care of myself on that maternity leave because I was trying to open a business to be able to quit my other job. So I've gone back and forth between
working. I've heard a lot of women do that. Because it makes you think during that time, too. Yeah. Like, it motivates you even more, you know.
But, and I, tying this into the employer side is, I think sometimes employers are worried that their employees who get pregnant and have babies aren't going to come back from maternity leave.
Yeah.
But if we take better care of them and incentivize them to come back, make childcare easily accessible, maybe having it in the building or having some kind of a special arrangement with the facility, it's going to be easier for your employees to come back. And if you can help take care of some of those worries, they're going to be able to focus more at work. Mm-hmm. So that's a side note. But
yeah, I saw a quote the other day that said, like, if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your clients.
Yes.
Or your customers.
And that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. But for myself, I think it it's going to depend on what your business is, like how the work gets done and mm-hmm. how many people work for your business. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I was a one-woman show. And on the back end, for most of the stuff, I am still a one-woman show. I do have an assistant that I can hand some office stuff off to. So now it's my maternity leave is going to look a little different than it did back then. Mm-hmm. So for that first one, for my second child, I was trying to start up a business and quit working full time and just working at a like a per diem basis. And so that wasn't really affording me a lot of time for rest and focusing on baby stuff. And he was a tough baby. And so that was, I was burning the candle at both ends. With the next baby, I knew like I need time to recover. I know how I am. Like mm-hmm. I know how I am. I'm going to want to work because I feel good when I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. It's not just about me being valuable as a human. It's I feel like I'm getting something done, so I feel better about myself. So if it's that's essentially a self-care thing for me, doing something, whether it's business related or self-related or house, whatever. So I hired a postpartum doula. We started saving money immediately mm-hmm. because I knew, like, as soon as that positive pregnancy test came up, I was like, we're getting a postpartum doula after this baby's born. Because yes. I know I'm going to need the help. So I had someone.
Well, can you explain to people what a postpartum doula is? Because they may not know.
So our postpartum doulas come into the home and they help take care of you, your house, your baby, whatever you need to help you function at your best. Mm-hmm. So for me, I liked having help around the house and with my baby so I could either do errands that I needed to do, take a shower, take a nap. Maybe the baby would come in to nurse with me and sleep next to me. But my doula was able to keep my toddler entertained and make sure the dishes got done and folded some laundry for us. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like this magical fairy godmother that just knows what needs done for new moms and dads and just does it. And you don't have to ask for it, but you can. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I left a list of a few things, like these are things that bring me joy and these are things that need done on a daily basis, just so whoever was there to help me knew things that they could be doing if I wasn't able to communicate face to face. These are some things that would be helpful to get mm-hmm. done so I feel good about my day. So I hired one after our second daughter was born. Mm-hmm. And then I purchased a infant lounger that could sit next to me on my bed. And so the baby could be propped up on this lounger next to me. I could still reach over and interact with her, but I could also still stay in the bed and work with the computer on my lap. So I kind of made my desk into a bed. Mm-hmm. I did rest when I wanted to rest and I fed her when she needed fed. But I also didn't have any problems like just putting my laptop on my lap and doing a few things when I needed to. And anything else, I was really honest with our clients. Like, I just had my baby, so it might be a while before I get back to you. This time I plan on doing a out of the office automatic reply saying, mm-hmm. you know, I'm out of the office now for X amount of days or weeks, and handing off some of that day-to-day communication to our doula teams and allowing mm-hmm. them to do a lot of the client communication and phone calls. Now, I also, now that I have an office where I have some more room and, you know, I've decorated it so I like mm-hmm. enjoy coming here. It's more functional for me, so mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about bringing my baby to the office. Whereas mm-hmm. before, it was in a shared space, so I felt bad about not any noises and things. But now I'm totally fine with bringing her here. Mm-hmm. I purchased a little like portable swing and like a little bouncy chair, so that way I can have them here in the office and I can bring her here mm-hmm. because I know I'm gonna get a little bit more work done if I'm actually in my office space versus mm-hmm. in my bed. So I plan on the first couple weeks being in bed, and I have like a little stand and stuff to kind of set up my space in my room, because sometimes I'm going to want to rest and sometimes I'm just going to want to get a few things done to make sure I'm not dropping any balls. Mm-hmm. And if you have a staff, if you have teams that are working under you, you can hand all this stuff off.
I think it's hard too sometimes because I think with moms and women in particular, sometimes we want to try to do everything ourselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, how many times do you say, I'll just do it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then when you are a boss, you know, it is all about delegation, you know what I mean? And being able to empower your team to mm-hmm. truly be your team, mm-hmm. you know, and that takes growth and learning too, you know?
Yeah. And there will probably be an aspect of you that wants to check in on things if you are handing everything off to a team to make sure things are getting done. Because at the end of the day, that's your name behind the business. That's your reputation.
True that.
You don't want your clients upset. You don't want them disappointed. So there will definitely probably be aspects of you checking in. Like, I would think it would be silly to expect any entrepreneur to totally check out for 6 weeks.
Totally. But you don't. But you, it's a balance.
It is.
It's a balance between kind of knowing. And I think for you and for me, we had, you know, more than one kid. So we got to get better each time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you were kind of just talking about how you're going to do things a little bit differently this time than you did last time. And just the growth of your business since the second baby to the third baby to now the fourth one, right?
Yeah.
And so I know we're getting short on time here. And so I just wanted, Kaylee, for you to, if you had any other kind of thoughts or advice for mompreneurs that are trying to do it all and got so much pressure on them being a mom, trying to be the perfect mom and meet those goals that they have and trying to balance it all. What is the advice that you have for them?
Yeah, a few things. First and foremost, to take care of yourself, because if you're doing it all, then none of it's going to get done if you're out of commission. So taking care of you, setting your realistic goals for yourself, especially around the time of having little ones, because you're only going to have so much energy. You're only going to have a capacity to handle so many things. And so setting realistic goals, that was one thing I did at the beginning of this year when I did my goals for the year and did like a vision board. I wasn't trying to do big, huge business things. It was more realistic, small step, move into our new office, drink 100 ounces of water a day, healthy mom, healthy baby, you know, like simple things that they were goals and they filled my calendar. So mentally it made me feel like, yes, here's my goals. I have something to work towards, but they were easily attainable to a degree. I mean, like I'm still working on that water thing, but
hey, it's a start.
Communication, not just with your partner, but also with your team. When you were talking about a partnership, absolutely. And when moms think about the housework and the kid work and their work, it kind of all feels like it falls on their shoulders. So there's all this emotional labor to keep track of what needs done when and how it's going to get done and who's going to do it. So even delegating comes with a lot of emotional labor. And moms just want their partners to know what needs done and do it without having to be asked, without having to be followed up on, without having to correct it because they missed a step and then it actually didn't get done.
Yes. And if you wait, if you wait for them to do it, like men are so like, you just have to tell them. And it's so crazy how sometimes we think that just because we say something, like they should just do, like you're kind of like complaining or whining sort of about something, and then you expect them to just do.
Yeah.
But you just have to tell them straight up.
Yeah, so that's a really good reminder of having clear communication. Not just saying to yourself, I wish, you know, the lawn's getting a little long there. We need to mow it. I mean, if you guys decided whose responsibility that is, you know, having those clear boundaries of, okay, these are things that I enjoy doing around the house. These are things I enjoy doing. This is your shared space. Everyone in your family lives in this space. It's everyone's shared responsibility to take care of it. Includes you, includes your partner, includes your children. And I'm not, when I talk about doing something right, I'm not talking about being nitpicky about how the dishwasher's loaded, because if you're, if you want people to help you, you don't get to complain about how they help.
Yeah, true that.
But at the same time, it's not necessarily help. It's everybody has a responsibility to help keep this house functioning. And if you're a stay-at-home mom, your full-time job is being a mom and caring for the children. Your daycare provider is not trying to clean her house all day long while she's also taking care of your kids. And you probably wouldn't want her to either. You would probably want your daycare provider to be focused on giving your children an enriched learning environment and taking good care of their needs. Same thing here. So whether you stay home or you work all day, it's everyone's responsibility to take care of the space that you live in, and picking up after yourself and teaching your children to pick up after themselves. Maybe setting up some, like a chore chart or a calendar, a little checklist where your kids can start to get involved, so it stops being so much of a burden on your shoulders, and now it can start to be a shared workload between everyone because you guys work together as a team.
Yeah.
And really and really valuing, you know, when you have those partners and saying thank you and recognizing when things get done. Don't just...
That's with your business team, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Making people feel valued for the work that they provide and the effort that they put towards not just, you know, either your business or your house.
Yeah.
An operations manual is something that is important for any business to have. And if you have staff working for you and you need them to know how to do certain things, especially if you're out of the office, having an operations manual where they can step-by-step break down, you know, how to take credit card payments or...
Yeah, systems.
You break your systems down. You can do the same thing for your house. Yes, there is more emotional labor involved in that because you have to break it down and you have to do the work to type it or dictate it to someone to type.
Like a grocery list.
But it's something you can do for your house, too. A household operations manual where you can say these are the things that, you know, these are the things that need done on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, annually. And this is how we do it. So that way everyone has the same expectation. And so then there's not this silent resentment of missed expectations. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a clear communication tool. I don't, some people could maybe they go a little overboard, maybe they get a little picky, but I think it's a way to make your expectations and your communication clear and not just saying, you know, I wish this would happen, you know, it's communicating your need. I need for us to have a partnership here. I would prefer if it looked like this. What do you think? And then let that conversation be two ways and not just you telling everyone what to do.
Yeah.
We tend to do that sometimes as moms, but it's because so much of the load's on our shoulders. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that the overall theme here is, you know, building your village.
Absolutely.
And your team. And so I love that. And I think that that is the perfect answer to what does balance look like for a mompreneur. I mean, you have to have that support and that team and that village.
None of us are made to do this all ourselves. Mm-hmm. Other cultures do so much better at taking care of moms during pregnancy after they have a baby. But here in America, we have really just, as women have been able to enter the workforce and they've been able to attain higher education and reach career goals, the level that they've had to participate in child and household duties has not changed. So we've just added more and more to our shoulders than balancing it out.
Mm-hmm.
So realizing that that's impossible to do everything all the time. You can't be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing, first and foremost, acknowledging that that's just impossible. And then realizing, like, here's where my limits are. Here's where my boundaries are. For me personally, I am not an early bird. And I know there's so many advice columns and books out there that are like, you gotta wake up early, you gotta do stuff. I'm like, you know what? I've tried to force myself to do that, and it's just not me. Mm-hmm. I'm much more functional if I can sleep a little bit later in and take a little bit slower amount of time to, like, get ready and get out the door. And then once I'm at the office, then I can be productive because I've had that time to get myself around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to find what works for you.
Yeah.
And don't let society's, you know, cookie cutter way of doing this, that, and the other influence that.
And there's so many resources at our fingertips now to make things easier for us. Like I was mentioning, grocery list, like Instacart and like all of these grocery delivery things. I mean, how much time do you spend in the store and how hard is it to bring an infant, you know what I mean, into a store unless they're asleep? You know what I'm saying? And so just taking advantage of some of the resources that we have at our fingertips and not feeling guilty about it.
I mean, if you're a numbers person, do a time cost analysis on that, right? Like, how much is your time worth?
Right,
you
know, for
sure. If you were sitting here with a client and billing them for your time, how much would you be charging them?
Yeah, now, versus you shopping around Walmart for an hour.
Store,
yeah,
how much are you losing by going to the grocery store instead of working with a client? So if I can, you know, kind of compartmentalize our grocery list into easy to manage chunks, and people can be responsible. If they use the last of the butter, then they write butter on the list, and then it's easy for whoever's in charge of the grocery list to go through and order the groceries online. $5 to drop it off or free deliver or free pickup, whatever. you've just saved yourself time. Yeah. You've saved yourself money.
Yeah, not to mention Amazon. But we can go on and on about this all day, girl. And so I'm just thankful for you taking the time to be on our show today. And I just want to thank the listeners for listening today. And please do subscribe and definitely comment if you liked this show. We want your feedback to hear what you guys want to hear on the show. And until next time.